All right. Well, good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, wherever you may be. I am Sean Alkard, and you're listening to the Mystic Paranormal Radio. Tonight, we got Lance Eberhardt on. I don't know if it's demons. I don't know if it's ghosts. I don't know if it's lost spirits. I don't know what it is. But it's been hell in the heartland, and we're going to be talking about Lance's story when he went on to Dead Files. Lance, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me. I'm really honored to be your first guest on the radio show here.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to get on here, man. I really appreciate you taking a short notice and making your way my way. I appreciate that.
Hey, anything for anybody.
Right, I appreciate that, man. Let me ask you this, Lance. You know, I watched the episode of The Dead Files, okay? I watched your episode, Hell in a Heartland. And I have to admit, man, you're a really legit-sounding guy. I mean, you sound sincere, you sound legit, you sound truthful, and the same goes to your family. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Well, you know, you mentioned that, you know, we sound really legit. And, you know, it's easy to come across that way when it really happened. You know, we're just a normal, average family. You know, there's nothing really spectacular about us. We're just average. You know, this is stuff that we went through. Kind of makes us, I guess, unaverage, you know. And it was a long time before I could actually admit and really understand what was really going on with us.
Right, right. And, you know, coming from somebody that lived in a haunted house like myself as well, I completely know what you're talking about, man. And I'm really looking forward to this show tonight. This is going to be a good one. I want to ask you this. When you first moved into the place you now call home, when was the first moment that something actually took place? I mean, what happened? Who was the first person that actually dealt with something?
Well, things started happening right when we moved in. And we moved in 2008. And our oldest daughter started having issues in the very back bedroom of our house. And if anybody who's watched our Dead Files episode, that very back bedroom is where Heidi's room was. So she was the first one that really experienced things. And, you know, as an adult, and I try to take a scientific and logical explanation for it, my first instinct was, okay, well, you're having a problem adjusting to the move and you're just seeking attention. And, you know, things that any average parent would think of. You know, I did not take into consideration that she was actually experiencing something paranormal, but in fact she was.
Right. So let me ask you this too, Lance. Your first night, try to take us back to that first night. Explain to us, give us the setting. What was it like? I mean, was it, did you feel something creepy in the house that kind of stood out, or was it just kind of a normal night? Take us back to that first night.
You know, the very first night in the house, I bought the house with not even looking at it in person. You know, Jennifer, my wife, and the girls had always looked at the house in person. I looked at pictures of it on the internet, and I based my buying decision just on the pictures that I saw on the internet and everything else. I mean, it was an old farmhouse that had a barn ready for horses. It had a pond, it had a creek, it was 15 acres. It was everything that we wanted. So I based that decision on that. So I never actually looked at the house before we bought it. The first time I actually saw the house was after we closed on the house. And I spent the night in the house. And, you know, the house felt strange. It felt different. It felt heavy. It felt, I hate to use the word uncomfortable, but it felt odd. You know, like there was something that was there that made the house feel different.
Right,
and
right.
That first night was, it was interesting. I remember not sleeping very well and, you know, just being uncomfortable. And I always dismissed it as like, well, this is a new place. I've never been here before. I never even seen it other than pictures. So I just kind of, you know, my brain, just being logical, just kind of dismissed it as like, okay, well, you know, it's a new place.
Right, right. I wanted to tell you this too, Lance. When I interviewed you several months ago, I had you on several months ago on my other network, and I actually was reviewing that interview today, tonight. And at the very beginning of our interview, you could clearly hear someone say, "Help me." I sent that to you. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it yet. Did you actually have a chance to hear that?
I did, and actually I heard it as well. And it's, you know, it's interesting that I hear that, because we still have things that happen in our house. And
right.
Amy Allen, you know, who's a psychic on the Death File, she always told us that, well, she told us that we have a path of dead that walks in front, back and forth in front of our house. And she wasn't sure where that path was going or where it came from, where it originated or where it ended. So it could have very well been somebody who was walking across that path. And we've had issues with entities just showing up at our house, kind of uninvited, or, you know, just unintentionally, that them just being there. And
right.
And we're very diligent on staying on top of this stuff and cleansing and, you know, burning the incense and doing everything that we need to do. So it's not surprising that you heard that, because one of the things that I know and that we learned is that we're always going to have issues. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter where we are. So, you know, we have to take that into consideration. We have to protect ourselves.
Right. To me, that was really interesting hearing that EVP. I've never actually captured one, you know, when I did interviews. That's the first time that's ever happened to me. So that really stands out to me, that you definitely got, that signals to me that you definitely got some activity taking place in that house still, like you said, and it'll continue, like you also said. Now,
that we always try to protect ourselves and we're careful where we go. So,
right.
You know, there's no telling who that is, where it came from.
Now, let me ask you this. You've been on the Dead Files. Your story was thrown out there to millions of people. Has your life actually changed a lot since then?
You know, it has. I mean, there's been times that we, you know, my wife and I, we've been out somewhere, and just recently we were at Sam's Wholesale Club, and we were checking out, and we were in a hurry because we had to make it to the doctor's appointment, and the cashier who was there, she, you know, she leaned over to us, and she was very quiet, and she said, "Weren't you the people on that ghost show?" And the reason why she said that was because her daughter and her son-in-law were having paranormal issues. And, you know, it's interesting when people approach us, because they're very secretive about it. And that's, and part of the reason why us coming forward is that we want to encourage those people to come out. We want to encourage them to get help. We want to make sure that whatever is bothering them, that was ever haunting them, that they can get that help, that they don't feel they have to suffer in silence. So, you know, that part of it has changed. Every now and then we get the people that recognize us. And, you know, we're not shy about our experiences. So, if someone asks us, we're going to tell them. We're going to tell them the good, the bad, and the ugly about it. Because one thing that we found out after we were on the show, there's a lot more people that will approach us and say, "You know what? I had this happen. I had this happen. I can never explain it." And I think it's a lot more accepted now as mainstream than it was before.
Right, right. I agree. So let me ask you this. Before you actually were on the show, before all this stuff started happening, what was your take on paranormal activity? Did you believe it? Did you think it was a bunch of bogus? What were your thoughts on it?
I actually didn't believe it. I thought it was, you know, just a bunch of, it was bogus. I always thought there was the scientific or a logical explanation for anything that happened. And And now that I know, I can look back on a lot of childhood experiences that I had and think, oh, okay, now this makes sense. I was raised in a very conservative environment. And if I was to mention these things as I was growing up, they were immediately shut down, immediately dismissed as, no, that can't happen. There's nothing beyond us. So it was just, you know, my upbringing that caused me just kind of shut down. And when we first moved here, that was kind of the approach I took, is that, no, this can't be. Obviously, you're just not comfortable being here. It's just a move. You'll get used to it. You know, anything a parent would say to a child just to try to appease them or get them to feel comfortable being where they were.
Right. Isn't it amazing how your opinion changes after you actually have a paranormal experience? I always tell people, you know, I go out and I get EVPs and I can play them for you. But in the back of your mind, even though you're hearing this, you might be thinking, you know, that's not legit. That's fake. That's been doctored up or whatever. But I always say, until you actually go out there and you do your own EVP work and you capture your own voice, you're always going to have doubts. But when you get it yourself, it's like, wow, it's like the blinders come off and it's a whole new world out there.
Yeah, there were absolutely things that were kind of like that. And there was even a time in when our oldest daughter was still living in the house and we were in the bedroom and I was trying to dismiss everything. And she said, okay, well, let's record something. And I remember her, I was just kind of joking around. I was just kind of taking anything that I learned from any of these other paranormal shows, like, are you here? Who's here with us? You know, things like that.
Right.
And then I told my daughter, I said, well, why don't you ask a question? And she said, do you like my cats? Do you like playing with my cats? And, you know, we didn't hear anything. And then when we played it back, right after she said that, I remember us hearing on the video or hearing on the audio where it said, no. Right after she asked, do you like my cats? Do you like playing with my cats? And I was kind of taken aback by that because I was trying to prove to her that there was nothing there. And then here all of a sudden is I'm the only male in the room and it's her and Heidi. They're the only ones that are in the room. And this is a male's voice saying, no, how do you explain that away? And
you
that
can't.
Still, even to this day, bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because at that point, I still didn't believe.
Right, right. I think probably in the back of your mind, you probably thought, that's interesting. But, you had your way set, and, you know, we're going to get into your story and everything that happened to you. But probably in the back of your mind was saying, you know what, there's something weird here.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what it was. It was kind of like, huh. Somebody else is here, but it was kind of like, okay, I got to think of a logical explanation for this.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, what are you going to tell your kid? You know what I mean? You're having this EVP that's happening and you don't understand it. How are you going to explain something you don't understand to your children?
Exactly. That is a challenge. You know,
yes.
Kids are smart. They really are. And when you start trying to kind of, spin something in a way that they're going to realize, obviously, that's just bullshit. Oops. Sorry.
Exactly.
I don't know if I can
yeah,
say
right.
that, but we're on internet radio, right?
Right. Well, yeah, I'm not sure if you can say it either, to be honest with you. before you actually moved into the house, Lance, did the owners actually tell you anything about any kind of activity in the house, whether it be paranormal, did something strange or a death that may have occurred there? Did they mention anything like that to you?
No, absolutely nothing. And when the house sat vacant for over 6 months, and, you know, it obviously it was a goodbye and I jumped on it, but they didn't say anything. And even when things started happening, even before we even considered contacting the dead files, we had contacted the previous owners saying, hey, I know this kind of sounds strange, but did you ever have anything that happened here? And they said no. And so it kind of takes me back, and I kind of think about it, and I'm like, they had to have something happen here. Just because all the things that happened to us, and the fact that this house sat vacant for 6 months, and they practically gave it away to us.
Yeah, it always seems to be the case, man. When you move into a haunted location, it always seems to be just given to you. It really does.
And you know what's interesting in Missouri, from a real estate standpoint, we found this out because we were considering moving at one point, that you do not have to disclose in the disclosure statements any death that happened on the property for any reason whatsoever. And you obviously, and then you don't have to report or disclose any type of paranormal activity that happens on the property.
Ah, interesting. And I wanted to tell you this too, Lance. I lived in a haunted house a long time ago, back when I was like 12. When we moved into the house, I remember my parents telling me the house has been vacant for 7 years. And, you know, I had a lot of activity that happened there. But when I moved out, I ultimately, later on down the road, when I started getting into radio and I started getting into paranormal investigating, I asked the owners of that house at the time, I said, has anything ever happened to you? And I approached them on Facebook, actually. And they told me nothing. Nothing was happening there. There was nothing going on. So that's one thing I wanted to ask you. Do you think that something may have, you know, manifested through you guys or anything like that? I mean, have you ever had anything like this happen before? I think you said no earlier, but.
Well, I actually believe now, after all our experiences and everything that happened to us since we've been here, I believe that some people are more open, some people are sensitive, they have some kind of ability that will attract something that's spiritual. And, you know, not necessarily paranormal, but something that is spiritual, maybe a lost soul or something like that. And I truly believe now that you have to be open to that, or you have to have that ability. You may not even realize that you have that ability, but you have to be open to it. So I firmly believe that the previous owners, they didn't have that. And so that's why they didn't have the experiences. And after we did our show on the Dead Files, you know, Amy said, one of the things that you have to understand is that every single one of you is a sensitive. You all have abilities. You all have different abilities. So, you know, spirits and lost souls or wandering souls, whatever you want to call them, they're going to be attracted to that. So I think that's what happened. I truly believe, you know, the previous owners told me they didn't have any issues, and I truly believe that. And it's just because they weren't open to it. But when we moved here, you know, we were open to it, and the dead or the lost souls, they approached us. And, you know, when I start looking back at things that happened to me when I was a kid and I was growing up, now they all start to make sense. There was two incidences that I recall growing up. Is one when I was a child, and we were living in Fort Worth, and I remember my parents were playing cards in the kitchen with another couple, and I could hear them in the kitchen laughing and playing cards with this other couple, and I was yelling at my parents that I needed them, that I wanted them to come into the room. And then all of a sudden I hear this voice, a man's voice, very deep, that says, lay down and shut up. And it petrified me as a kid, and I laid down and I shut up. And I never told my parents about that. But, you know, and there was another instance when we were living in Houston, and I recall looking out the windows one night, I couldn't sleep, and I'm looking out the window, and I see this red glowing light just going up and down in the sky, and then all of a sudden, it just moves real fast from the sky, and slams down into our front lawn. And it scares the hell out of me. And I remember just going back to bed and closing my eyes and not opening my eyes. So, you know, I dismissed all these things as a kid, but because being raised in a conservative environment, I didn't want to bring them up. But I kept thinking, okay, I'm just imagining things. This couldn't have happened. It's not logical. So, but after our experiences here, I start thinking to myself, you know what? That makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it does. Let's go back to Hell in the Heartland here. Tell us about the escalation of activity in the house. Like, how did things start speeding up? Like, I know it started out light, but it obviously got heavier and heavier, the activity. Explain that. Walk us through that, Lance.
Well, you know, there's no real one point where things were a little bit more difficult than are challenging them something else. It was a situation. I think when it was the first time that I actually believed something was happening and I could accept that something was happening. And it was a case where it was a situation where I was in the house alone. I was in the basement. I had a little office in the basement. And I remember I'm sitting there. It was late. It was in the winter and I was working. And all of a sudden, the printer that was on a credenza that was behind me just started spitting out paper. I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, okay, well, something's caught up in the printer queue. So I just turned it off. Well, the paper kept spitting out. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. I wonder what's going on. Maybe there's something still caught up in the backup power system. So I remember going to unplug it. And I unplugged it, and I noticed that the paper was still coming out. And right after I unplugged it and I looked at the paper still coming out of the printer, I heard this blood-curdling scream of a woman. I mean, it sounded like she was screaming right behind my ear. And it just terrified me. And I remember running outside, and I was wearing shorts, a T-shirt, and I was barefooted. And it was in the middle of winter. And in the winter in Midwest, as you know, you live in the Midwest, it's right. Cold, you know,
yeah.
And I sat up, I was so terrified and I was so shook up about it that I stayed outside until Jennifer and the girls got home.
Wow.
Barefooted.
Wow.
I had shorts, a T-shirt on, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I think it was at that point that I actually, it was at that point that I actually believed.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, one thing that stood out to me that I thought was interesting when I was watching The Dead Files was one of your daughters, I forget which one it was, said something about, I think it was your youngest, said something about a pumpkin actually moving by itself. Now, can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
Yeah, that was in the fall of 2015. It was right before they actually filmed our episode in the spring of 2016. You know, it's one of these things. We had a spoon that would appear and disappear, and it would just leave the house and come back. And it wasn't a spoon that was actually a part of our silverware. And so we decided that we were going to put a camera on this spoon and we were going to see if it disappeared and see if it came back. And we just set the camera on it. Well, it was in the fall, like I said, and we leaned the camera up against a small little pumpkin and it was pointing right at the spoon. And it was in the dining room and I was sitting there and I was just working. And then I remember hearing this kind of light moan or scream behind me. And then the camera fell on the floor. And then the pumpkin just flew out of the dining room, through the kitchen, and into the living room, right in front of Heidi, and just kind of crashed on the floor. So, and what was crazy is that when the camera fell, it fell off of the table and it fell where it was facing up. And my wife and I, we watched the video. And when we watched the video, we could see hands reaching and reaching for the pumpkin. And they were just warped type of hands. They were hands that had really, really long fingers. And they never touched the pumpkin. They just went around the pumpkin, and you could see it lift it up and then throw it.
Isn't that interesting how, you know, technology like video cameras, digital recorders, how they seem to be able to pick up the activity, but just through our own human bodies a lot of times. Now, some of us can, but most of us can't actually see or hear anything like that. I wonder why that is.
You know, I honestly believe it's because the human mind has a protective nature or a pre-programmed nature that what you're seeing can be happening. So it alters it in some way. But a video camera or an audio recording, it doesn't look at it that way. It's just going to record what it actually sees or what it actually hears. So there's no altering of it.
Right. That's a good way to put it. I like that. I like that a lot. I understand, Lance, that you do have a blog up. Okay. Now, this is an hour show, and we can only cram so much in here. So I wanted you to have the chance to tell people about this blog. Why don't you give them the address and tell them a little bit about it?
Well, you know, the first thing a little bit about the blog is after our episode aired, we just got a ton of questions because, as you can imagine, there's only so much that you can cram into 47 minutes of a show, especially after 8 years of experience. And so we got a whole bunch of questions. What about the experiences when you're on the show? How are you doing now? What have you done? You know, etc. So instead of answering all those questions, we decided to start the blog and just tell our story from the very beginning to where we are now. And, you know, it's a source of therapy and healing for us because just because the Dead Files came and Amy Allen has said, okay, this is what you need to do, this is how you get rid of this and how you need to live. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight. You don't recover for something like this. And So it's been a source of healing, and it's been a source of therapy for us to really tell the story just from the very beginning of how things started. And the blog address is ourghoststory@blogspot.com. So, and, you know, it's very helpful to write about what's happened.
Yes, and I will tell you this too, Lance. Having a blog up nowadays, like, let me rewind that a little bit here. Back in the day, okay, before the internet, there was no vent valve or anything like that, no place where anybody could really go to share their stories without, you know, going mainstream public or something, and a lot of people don't want to do that. But it really helps people out, don't you think, to be able to go to a site and talk about their experiences, read about other people's experiences, and, you know, just that whole experience in itself is really, I would say, soothing to somebody.
You know, I believe that's the case. I mean, I think that if more people will come out and they'll say, you know, this is happening to me, this is what's happened, you know, then more people will be encouraged and, you know, or have the courage to come out and say, you know, this is happening to me too. And they don't have to suffer in silence. They don't have to, you know, worry about what other people are going to think. And, you know, as much as the paranormal is mainstream now, there's still a stigma to it, especially if you live in a small town.
And yes, you're right.
So there, yeah, so there's, I think that's a big help to people. So they see someone else sharing their story, and they'll say, you know what, this is how the same things happen to me. And even if we can offer somebody some type of comfort, then it's accomplished something.
Right. And I wanted to ask you this too, Lance. You know, when I lived in a haunted house, it got to the point where we all would make a big bed in the living room floor, and my whole family would sleep in that area. Did it ever come down to where you guys didn't feel safe and you were all sleeping in the same room? Did it ever get that bad?
You know, that's an interesting question. There was a time we were all sleeping in the living room, and we had a big sectional and we were all sleeping together, and, you know, we felt more comfortable doing that. And yeah, so that actually did happen to us. And there was a brief moment in time, I guess about a week, where we actually didn't even live in the house. We stayed with some friends.
Did you ever consider selling the house, like moving out? I mean, did that ever cross your mind?
Oh, several times, yeah. And you know, there were several times when we thought about just, you know what, let's just get out of here. You know, let's just leave everything behind and we'll sell it for whatever we can get and move on.
Right. Now, I understand you did have a paranormal group come into your house. Now, what made you decide to do this? And please tell us about what happened when they actually came.
Well, you know, we literally thought that we were going crazy. And we went on to a website that we thought was a Dead Files, you know, submission site for our story. And you know, the Dead Files was a little bit different of a show. We liked their approach. It wasn't theatrical. And it wasn't like they were looking, you know, to document something. They were actually looking like for helping people. So we, excuse me, we went on the site that we thought was a Dead Files submission site. We submitted our story and they contacted us and they told us that they were a local paranormal team in the Kansas City area, that they were hired by the Dead Files to do the preliminary work. They wanted to verify that there was activity in the house before the production team came out. And, you know, we didn't know about television or how those shows worked. And we thought, all right, well, you know what, that makes sense. And so they came out. They took about 2 hours to set up. And they just totally misrepresented themselves. It was just, they were totally unprofessional. And it was kind of one of these things like, we didn't know any better. We were so desperate for help that we were going to accept anything that they did or they told us. And about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, they told us that it wasn't safe for them to be here. And then they left. They wanted to pack everything up and they wanted to leave. And that's when they started tearing everything down. And we were like, no, you're not going to leave. You're not going to just go piss this stuff off and then leave us. And right. So, you know, they did kind of a very quick cleansing and it turns out they blotched the cleansing. And then what really upset me most is that we tried so diligently and actually begged them, tell us what's going on here. What do we need to do? And they told us, well, we deleted all the evidence. It was inconclusive. We don't know what's going on. And, you know, and even the medium that was there, she started to blame us for our issues. And
really?
so all that did was just kind of, you know, make us go into, we were already kind of in hiding and being recluses because of our activity. That just made it worse. So, you know, we felt cheated. We felt, I hate to say the word cheated because I don't think that's the right word. We felt deceived. And
it's cheated too. I mean,
yeah.
They misrepresented themselves big time.
And after that, we were just kind of at a loss. We just kind of said, okay, well, this is going to be our life. This is going to be the status quo. You know, we're going to be tormented and, you know, we're not going to tell anybody else ever again what's going on here.
Right. Did they say what happened to them that made them feel unsafe?
There was a point in their investigation where they took me down into the basement and I felt very uncomfortable and I thought that I passed out. And I remember waking up on the basement floor thinking it was no big deal and everyone else was just in total chaos behind me. And I walked upstairs and as soon as I got upstairs, Jennifer met me and she said, oh my God, you were picked up, literally lifted off the floor and thrown into the wall. And I said, I honestly don't remember any of that. And that's when the group leader, who never even went into the house and never did anything but sit in our garage, he went into the basement and they stayed down there for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then he radioed back up and he goes, pack it up, we're shutting it down, it's not safe here, we need to get out of here.
Wow.
And they had the whole thing on video.
That's amazing that, you know, that something like that can physically interact with our world. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bible verse, Ecclesiastes, I believe it's 9:5, it says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. And it goes on to say that the dead can no longer partake in anything that is done under the sun. That makes me think that, you know, they could be demonic. I mean, if the Bible's right, I mean, the dead know nothing. So there shouldn't be such things as ghosts or anything like that, according to the Bible. Now, that's a whole new debate right there, if the Bible's real or if it's not. It's a whole new debate. And we won't get into that tonight. But, I mean, do you believe in... Well, let me ask you this first. Are you affiliated with any kind of church, Lance, or were you a big religious guy at all, or no?
I wasn't a big religious guy growing up. But, you know, I do believe, I describe myself now as a spiritual person.
Okay.
I understand that there's more going on. And I think as humans, we're human beings, for us to think of us as we are it, I guess, is the best way for me to put it, that we are the final thing. I think that's naive for us to think that way. I guess I'm more spiritual. And, you know, you mentioned something just a few minutes ago, how the dead don't, they can't do anything and, you know, they only do things at night. And I firmly believe now that, you know, the dead and the spirits and lost souls, they have no concept of time. There is no day.
Right.
There is no night.
Yeah.
It's just a continuous day for them. So I wouldn't describe myself as religious. As I more would describe myself as spiritual.
Right. Do you fear death, Lance? I mean, after experiencing stuff like this, does death scare you at all? Or are you just like, you know, it's part of life, it'll happen, and you just accept it?
You know, I'm kind of torn on that. You know, I guess that I think that everybody fears death. I think if somebody tells you that they don't, they're lying to you. I mean, because that's the finality. And, you know, so now I try to live my life to the fullest. And, you know, I fear death, but I fear not living and not living a full life more than I fear death.
That makes sense. You know, for me, it goes up and down. Some days I'd be afraid to die. And then there's other days where it's just like, you know, you don't really have that fear. I don't know. It's almost like this weird taboo thing where you don't believe that it's actually ever going to happen, but it always creeps up on us. I mean, no one gets off this rock alive, right? And that's just how it goes. But I wanted to ask you, too, do you believe in demons or do you, like you were saying, do you think that it's just departed souls that have no concept of time and they're just roaming the earth?
No, I actually believe that there are some kind of demonic forces. I think that there are some things that are out there that were never human to begin with, that were
right.
manifested in actually in a whole other dimension.
Right.
I'm much more now open to other dimensions other than our own. So, and obviously there's another dimension. There's something that manifested itself or that was there that wasn't human. So
right.
I do believe in demons. I do believe that there are things that are demonic, and I do think that they want to do harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different energy.
Right, right. I have to ask, do you believe that demons were associated with your haunting, or do you believe that it was all spirits? Did Amy mention anything about demons at all, or how did that work out? What, tell us about that.
She didn't mention anything about demons. You know, she mentioned things that were actually human in nature before. Where we live in Missouri, you know, we live right on the Missouri-Kansas border. And for anybody that's familiar with history, you know, there was a lot of violent activity that went on here. But even when I think about it and I look back at it, you know, I think that the people that did those violent acts had some kind of demonic influence, because
right.
you just don't go from, you know, Kansas City, Missouri to Lawrence, Kansas, and kill every man of military age. There's got to be something demonic within you that's going to cause you to do that. So you either have a negative or a positive energy. And I think there are a lot of people that have, at the time, had negative energy.
Right. That's interesting. I like how you said that. Let's go back for a minute, Lance. What happened after that paranormal group felt unsafe? They left their house. They watched the cleansing. What happened after they left? Did things pick up in pace, or did it remain the same? Take us back.
You know, things were good for about a week, and then things started to get sinister. You know, things started to get violent. There was a time that I was literally picked up out of the bed and thrown up against the wall. You know, knives in our house started flying across the room. You know, they would stick into the ceiling. And, you know, the screams, gosh, the screams from the crazy lady who was here were just nonstop. And it didn't just happen when we were in the house. We would have people over, and all of a sudden they would hear the screams too. So it wasn't just us. It was just like they were trying to push us out of the house.
That's really interesting. That makes me wonder, like, I mean, they want to push you out of the house, but why? Do they want to live in that house by themselves? Or do they just not like your company? It's a really in-depth question, because you said the people before that were in there before or whatever, yeah, nothing was ever explained to be paranormal. They never had any experiences or anything like that. So it makes you wonder why these manifestations actually occurred and they wanted you out of the house. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. That's a good question. You know, that's a good question. Why all of a sudden did they want us out of the house? And
right.
I mean, and there were so many questions after that paranormal team was there. We had more questions than answers, and we literally felt defeated. We felt like this is what our life is going to be. If we continue to live here, this is what our life is going to be. And that's why we were actually considering moving at one point.
Right. I don't blame you, man. If something like that happened to me in that house, I mean, like I said, I had paranormal experiences, but nothing quite like what you went through. I don't think I'd be able to sleep another night in that place. I mean, you said you're
still
living
there. That's why we all started sleeping in the living room.
Right, right. Now, I know you have kids. Have any of them, or your wife, or yourself even, have any of you guys ever dabbled into the occult at all, like Ouija boards or EVP before moving into this place? Anything like that?
No, absolutely not. You know, and that's, now we have like a very steadfast rule that we don't do anything along those lines. You know, we don't do anything that's going to bring negativity into our house. We don't have anything to do with.
Do you think that paranormal activity is growing more, abundance, or do you believe that it's not really, it's just there's so many shows out nowadays and the internet, more people are actually able to tell their stories. Do you believe that it's actually increasing the activity or no?
I actually don't believe it's increasing the activity. I think that the activity has always been there, but it was never mainstream. And
right.
Even though I'm not a big Ghost Adventures fan, but one of the positive things that they did was that they brought it into mainstream. And so I think it's much more accepted now than it ever was. I think that the level of activity hasn't increased, hasn't decreased, but I think that more people are accepting of it and more people are willing to come forward.
Right. I would agree with that. I would have to agree with that. So, okay, this false team left your house. How did you actually come across the real dead files? I mean, I'm sure you doubted whenever you came across them if they were going to be authentic or not, but how did this happen?
Well, there was a time when Emmy was in the kitchen and she was making, these kids, they'll make a video. They need to document anything that happens now. And so she was making a video of making like a Reese's peanut butter cup. And she actually caught the crazy woman screaming on video just by chance.
Wow.
And at that point, we decided we got to do something. We can't continue living this way. And Jennifer actually found a website that was associated with the Travel Channel. So we felt much more comfortable in submitting our story with them. And as soon as we submitted our story and told them all the crazy things that were happening, they contacted us within like a day.
Wow, that's fast,
and
man.
That's
really fast.
Yeah, they actually identified themselves like, okay, this is who I am. I work for the production company. This is the name of the production company. You can check us out. And, we did our homework this time. We didn't just take their word for it.
So explain to us real quick. We're running out of time here, but what happened when they actually got to your house? Like, or was there a screening process? How did that work?
Yeah, there was a screening process. There were several conference calls and, submitting pictures, before they would even agree to do the show. And there was even, after they agreed to do the show, there was still a venting process. And we had to talk to a producer several times, maybe three or four times on the telephone before they even agreed to take the case. And even before they started filming, the producer that they assigned to us came out to our house and interviewed everybody and talked to everybody. And, they really did their homework. They really do a very good job of venting clients. They just don't want people who are going to be on, people who just want to be on TV. They want to really help people. And I have to give credit to Painless Productions as well as the Dead Files, because when they use the word client on their show, that's what they really mean. They really truly mean that you're a client.
Yeah, That's interesting, Lance. But I'll tell you what, we're about running out of time here, buddy. Once again, tell people about your blog, like the address, and give it out to them.
Sure. Yeah. The blog address is our blog. It's ourghoststory.blogspot.com. And, you know, we tell our story from the very beginning to, you know, to where we are now. And, you know, where we are now is it's a continuing and ongoing process. The healing and the recovery just doesn't happen overnight. We still have one of our daughters is still, two of our daughters is still in therapy about the things that happened here.
I can imagine, man. I can only imagine. Lastly, is there anything that you would like to say to anybody out there listening right now that may be going through something that you did? Is there a message that you would like to tell them before we end the show tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you are experiencing something, reach out to somebody. You know, there are people who are legitimate that who are willing to help, and you don't have to suffer in silence. You know, reach out to somebody. Hell, you know, you can reach out to us. You know, we'll do everything that we possibly can to get you help. So don't suffer in silence. Don't suffer in silence just because you're afraid of what other people are going to think of you.
You heard it, man, guys. Lance, I want to thank you for coming on tonight, man. It was a great pleasure to interview you tonight, my first show on this network, and I really appreciate you taking your time, buddy.
Yeah, great. You know, it's an honor to be your first on the show, Sean. I have a lot of respect for what you do, and looking forward to seeing the movie that you made.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. And those of you interested, you can always go to my Facebook. It's facebook.com/SeanLonkert. All right, guys, that's it for now. I really appreciate it, Lance, and you take care and have a good night, bud.
All right, you too. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
All right.